Ramsey TV.
Now you tell me. Now you tell me. The shirt doesn't match the jacket. No, it's not brown. It's tan. It's not really pink. It's light pink. It's light pink and it's tan. And I'm looking at it now and I think it goes. So, no, it's too late anyway. What do you want me to do? Stop the show and change in front of everybody? I'm not going to do it. All right, Martin Zunder here taking a fashion risk today here on MZTV. But I take risks all the time. That's okay. It keeps life interesting. Have you ever heard of Terry Bradshaw? Most people have. Now, if you love football, if you like the NFL, if you know anything about it, you will know that Terry Bradshaw was the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that I hated the Steelers when I was growing up because I was raised a Browns fan. Yeah, the Cleveland Browns. Yes, that's the team that has not won a championship, an NFL championship, since 1964. That was before there was such a thing as the Super Bowl. It was the NFL championship. Anyway, the Browns and the Steelers were rivals, you know, being from those Midwest blue-collar towns. And the Steelers almost always won. And it infuriated me. Of course, I don't care these days who wins any football games. I'm not a fan of any team. I don't follow the NFL like I used to. But boy, I used to love it. And the man I hated more than anyone was Terry Bradshaw. Why? Because he always beat the Browns. Because he was good. Because he won and won and won. The guy won 4 Super Bowls. Yeah, did Tom Brady's won 4 now, so if he wins one more, I think I'm right about this, not sure. Then he's going to break the Steelers record. I don't know. Tom Brady is, you know, always has been chasing Terry Bradshaw for a few years now, and the Steelers, by the way. I bring this up because I'm going to link you to an amazing video, and it doesn't matter whether you are a football fan or not. It will help if you're a football fan. But this video, which I'm linking you to, is about the career of Terry Bradshaw. But he's interviewed by Steve Sable, who is a Hall of Fame inductee. Of course, he's dead now, unfortunately, but he was one of the founders of NFL Films, along with his father, Ed Sable. And they did great documentaries about great football stars. This interview with Terry Bradshaw and the story of Terry Bradshaw, there in the last 5 minutes of this video, there is a scene of redemption and conciliation that you have to go through the entire video in order to watch it. I think it's maybe 40 minutes. So this will be an investment of your time. I'm linking to it down here. But I'm telling you, this is a microcosm of the conciliation of the world. No, of the reconciliation of everyone at the consummation of the eons. Because, well, I'll just say this. Terry Bradshaw, for years, had a problem with his head coach, Chuck Knoll. So it was a well-known head-butting competition between these two. But when you see how this little documentary film ends, you'll say thank you, Zunder, for linking me to this, because I'm telling you, whether you're talking about Satan being reconciled to God or you and I with all of our differences being reconciled to each other, peace being made after war, it is so poignant. And this little documentary comes full circle. It starts with Amazing Grace and it ends with Amazing Grace. So this isn't primarily about football. At least it's not to me. It's about something far deeper, far greater. It's about forgiveness. It's about grace. It's about conciliation and reconciliation. And again, you can't just go to the last 5 minutes. Let's see what Zen is talking about. Let's go to the last 5 minutes. Don't. You have to watch the whole thing. And I'm sorry if you're not a football fan, it might be tough for you to get through the football parts, but trust me, this is good. Linked below, Terry Bradshaw. Hated the guy. Love the guy now because I don't care about football that much. He's a commentator today on Fox NFL. I think he still is. Not sure about that. They called him the blonde bomber because he had blonde hair. And he threw the football a long, long way. And usually the people he was throwing it to caught it. People like John Stallworth and Lynn Swan. Couldn't stand those guys because they always won. Bradshaw, of course, threw the famous Immaculate Reception. I don't know if you've heard on that. It's a play on words of the Immaculate Conception, of course. It was a miraculous pass that got the Steelers. They either got the Steelers into the playoffs or it was a playoff game. I can't remember. They were playing the Oakland Raiders. I was watching that game. I was watching the game live with my friend Steve Parker. We both hated the Steelers. Steve's dad loved the Steelers. And when that Immaculate Reception took place, just look it up on YouTube. Just go to Immaculate Reception. That's all you got to do. And you'll see this crazy play. Anyway, you'll thank me for this video down here. I was talking to a friend last night, and we came to the conclusion that, and this is very strange, we came to the conclusion that even if we knew for certainty that the snatching away was going to happen next week, or even tomorrow, I think, for some reason, and we both marveled at this, for some reason, this future that we have is so, let's just say, it's so unfamiliar to us. It's so not related to anything. Well, I can't really say that, because how many times have I said that the orgasm is a picture of how it will feel when we're in the celestial realms? And I think that God has given us little examples like that, little satisfactions here that just give us the barest, briefest hint of how it's going to be when we're snatched away and when we occupy this wonderful place. But even so, we are so, it seems, overwhelmed in this life that even when we contemplate it, we can't contemplate it to the grand effect that it erases the trials that we have every single day. And I don't think that if I even knew the snatching away was happening at the end of the week, let's say at the end of next week, even if I knew that for a fact, I have a feeling that I would have some crappy times during that week. Because I think that like looking forward to a vacation or looking forward to going out with friends to your favorite restaurant is more real, and that is more of a sustaining thing. But wait a minute, I'm gonna come out of this. It's gonna be better than it's sounding right now. That's more of a sustaining thing as far as getting through the trials of life, because it's familiar. The familiarity of your favorite restaurant or your favorite friends, or at the end of the week your favorite TV show, is actually sustains you more than what I sometimes consider a somewhat vague description. Let's just say it's not vague, it's just scant of detail. We know one thing for sure is that we're going to be snatched away from this earth with the dead in Christ to meet Christ in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 through 17. Whenever I hear people denying the snatching away and saying that it was the invention of some Pentecostal lady named, was it Margaret MacDonald, back in the late 1800s? No, it's the invention of Paul. He didn't invent it. He's passing it along from Jesus Christ, who tells us about it. And Paul, as I've said, has rarely spoke more clearly, more plainly, with more simple words than he does in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 17. I've laid this out for you before. It's step-by-step procedural description. It is so easy to understand. Paul goes through it. We who remain alive at the coming of the Lord, we won't precede the dead. I'm paraphrasing him. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Thereupon, we, the living, who survive to the coming of the Lord, will be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be ever with the Lord. How simple can you get? It's simple. Now, believing it is difficult because it's so fantastic, but because it is so fantastic, there, to me, there's sometimes little here because of my unfamiliarity with being snatched away, taken into the clouds with the dead to meet Christ in the air. Unfamiliar with that. It's never happened to me before. So it's easier to look forward to going out to dinner with friends than it is to look forward to this. And my friend and I were, she was telling me, this fellow believer, that I brought this up. I said, you know, why is it that contemplating this great thing, while it is settling in one sense, it doesn't keep me from having bad days? It should. I should be thinking of this. Why can't we think of this constantly and just like be giddy? Like we've won the showcase. I mean, we've won more than the showcase with this calling of ours. And yet somehow I don't feel like I won the showcase. I have problems that rise up in everyday life that seem to overshadow and overwhelm this great expectation. Why is that? Why is that? And we both marveled at it. And I even went so far as to say, you know, even if Christ told us that we would be snatched away tomorrow, I'm wondering if that would keep us from having a crappy day just because of our unfamiliarity with something so grand, something so great. But then we came to this conclusion, and this is the good news. This is where the thing took a good turn, and I truly believe what I'm about to tell you, even though I also believe what I just told you, but I also believe what I'm going to tell you, and that is this. I think that knowing this, having our exit from this earth described so literally, with such simple words, so straightforwardly, I think we're looking for this to have some outside sparkle. We're looking for it to be like one of those sparklers at the 4th of July. There's fizzes and does all this, and we're disappointed when that doesn't happen. And we think to ourselves, why doesn't this sustain us? Ah, no, it does sustain you. This is the difference between a cupcake and a steak. This is the difference between cheap carbohydrates and a protein that sustains you. This expectation, without you even knowing it, without me even knowing it, it is doing a lot for us, but it's doing it in the substrata. It's doing it in the depths of our soul. And without it, if this expectation was taken away from us, then we would notice it. Did you ever like take a pain pill for pain, and you're on this pain pill and you still feel pain, and the doctor tells you, well, believe me, this pain pill is really helping you, and you say, I'd hate to see what it feels without the pain pill. Yeah. Then the pain pill wears off and you find out, okay, yeah, that pain pill was great. Can I have another one? It's just like antidepressant medications. For people who are depressed, it's not like these things put you on some high where you're running around like a rodeo clown, all happy and giddy. Are they giddy? Rodeo clowns? Or are they scared? They're dressed giddily, but I think they're scared. That's a bad example. Anyway, it's not like these things take you to some great height of happiness, but it just keeps you even, like with the rest of the world. Some people don't know what it's like to be like the rest of the world that are getting by quite nicely. They have their trials, but they're doing okay. So you think, this pill's not doing anything for me. But then you don't take it for a couple days, and you realize, and you go down into that trough where you're looking up at the rest of the world from this pit of despondency. Well, okay, I guess it was. If this expectation was taken from us, we would find out just how much it has been doing for us. Same with the sovereignty of God. You probably think, I wish the sovereignty of God would do more for me. I know all these great truths. How come, this is the complaint, right? And I have the same one. How come I know all these great truths? I know about the salvation of all. I know about the sovereignty of God. And yet, I still go through trials. I still get down. I still get mopey. I still get bitter. I still have these clashes with my fellow believers. What's up with that? Why is it? I thought this was supposed to sustain me. My friends, it's so, what we believe is so real to us. It's so embedded. I should say that it is real, but because of that, it's embedded deep down in us. It is doing more to sustain you than you realize. It's like a thermostat. Oh, here's a great example. For one winter when I was in Ohio, I bicycled the 11 miles from my home in Greenwich, Ohio, to my job at the post office in Willard, Ohio. It was a crazy adventure because I had to be at work at 5:45 a.m. So I would leave the house at like 4:15. It would be pitch dark. I did this from October to March. It was freezing. Some days it was below zero. And I'm out there, and the only way I could survive is to have electronic foot warmers. So I put these electronic foot warmers in my shoes, and I'm pedaling along, and I'm thinking, why don't my feet feel warm? I get to the post office, and I'm looking for that cozy, in a down sleeping bag type warmth, like putting your hands by a crackling fire. That's what I'm looking for. But when I get to the post office, it starts to dawn on me that, wait a minute, my feet aren't freezing off. My feet aren't freezing off. And then one day when I did the trip without the foot warmers, I realized that my feet turned to blocks of ice. So the warmers didn't give me this warm, cozy, hands by the fire, wonderful feeling. But it did. It was doing so much for me, keeping my feet even, keeping them even, not making them freeze off, not making them feel toasty, but not making them turn into blocks of ice either. So we would be blocks of ice without these things that we know and without this expectation we have. And thank God that he's not going to take this away, because if he did, you would find out how much it is sustaining you. You would find that out if he were to withdraw all these things that we know that we take for granted. We take it all for granted that we know this stuff, that God has given us this gift of knowledge and realization of the truth. We completely take it for granted. Like, why isn't this helping me? How come I don't feel good? How come I'm so miserable? You have no idea how miserable you would really be. You don't know what real misery is until you would live an hour without the knowledge of the sovereignty of God. We've believed this for so long. What the hell would it be like to think that everything is random, that the world is in chaos? What would it be like if we actually thought that we were in danger of losing our salvation because, you know, we have to maintain it with good works? What if we didn't know what our future held? Well, I think we know that there are a lot of people like this, and I'm tempted to think that everybody in the world's happy, 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 but they're not. They're living lives of quiet desperation. Look at the suicide rate in the world today. Look at the abject misery. We're hanging in there, and we're not sure why. Why don't we feel better knowing this stuff? Friends, fellow members of the body of Christ, because we know these things, we are being sustained in ways invisible. We are being sustained in ways that we do not see and we do not know, because God will never take these things away from us. Because you don't know, and you don't want to know how it would feel without these things. So whether you believe it or not, these great truths sustain us day by day. And we take them for granted, and maybe that's a credit to God, that they're so sure, and they're so steady, and they form such a bedrock for us that we take them for granted. Not a great thing to take it for granted, so I want to implore you today, as I implore myself, to not take these things for granted anymore. You are sustained in ways you have no idea of, and when we are snatched away, we will see what a great advantage it was in life. Even though we complained, even though we murmured, it was a great advantage that God gave us a knowledge and realization of these things. And even though the fulfillment is near, we still go through trials. But another thing we take for granted, we go through these trials together. We are united in spirit, and we come to each other every day here by the miracles of this technology to help each other. I want to be a help to you as you are a help to me. So together we'll make it. We will make it to the finish line, and we will do it completely by the grace of God, and that grace of God that causes us to fellowship together and to encourage one another.